Floors2Go. Flooring so durable, won't ruin it. Visit New Floors2Go on Greensboro Avenue today. Because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904, as always, is the phone number for all the shows. We talk about the app. Download the app, Tide 100.9 app. You can send us an app message throughout the show. Also, listen to all the shows. You got Coach's show tomorrow. You got, obviously, the game on Saturday. It'll be an early start with the pregame show and all that with an 11 o'clock kick, although Alabama practice is in the morning, so I mean, it won't be that big of an adjustment for those guys as they head to Columbia, Missouri. And in a couple of weeks, they'll be heading to Columbia, South Carolina. So, but they got, I guess, Tennessee sandwiched in between that. And that game was announced to be a 6:30 kick, night kick, next weekend. So that should be big for the city of Tuscaloosa. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. You want to build the five-star backyard, there's only one choice. That would be Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? Chase gives me the wave. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. For each team, the two teams that we talk about the most in our state, there's a problem at each place. The problem at Auburn is offensively they've been terrible, or defensively they've been good. They've been talked to pretty strongly, the offensive staff has. I would think probably as the head coach to get it going offensively, or get it going offensively. But you're going to have to get it started offensively in this game against Georgia. I know Georgia's good defensively. On the other side of the page is Alabama. How am I going to block the pressure that they're going to put on us? They put great pressure. They're very. If you pick out the best thing that Missouri does, it's the pressure. And you have to block the pressure because quarterback Alabama has who's good. They're going to build the whole thing around him. Getting to him is going to be the critical part for them, the most important part for them. So at each school, one's got the offensive problems and one's got blocking defensive problems. So that's kind of interesting to me. Ohio State was picked one in the coaches poll, which doesn't mean much. Ohio State was one. Ole Miss and A&M were 4 and 5. Oklahoma and Alabama were 6 and 8. Tennessee. LSU were, I think, 11 and 12, and Missouri was 14. We've already mentioned the scores, like Jacksonville won last night. The Dodgers are 2 up on the Phillies, and Milwaukee's 2 up on the Brewers. I'll say this, and I'll let you catch on to what I say. I know there are several coaches enjoying the day. I'll leave it at that.
What are you talking about? What does that mean?
Somebody can call him and tell him.
Several coaches enjoying the day.
Okay.
Auburn moved their Baylor game to Atlanta. It's going to be the AFLAC game for NIL money for their players. Yeah. I think that's awful. Here... And I understand they probably got to be able to retain the recruits, and so they don't want to lose them. They're not having a good season. Maybe that will turn around. But, I mean, you take the game out of Auburn, the economy that needs those games there, the home, you take away a home game. I hope teams don't start doing this, taking away their home games. That's a Baylor game that would be a big game there on the Plains. They're playing a Big 12 team. And I don't know how much money the NIL is going to get, but I mean, the restaurants and the places, the hotels and all that in Auburn now, they're going to lose out on that. If you took a game out of Tuscaloosa, good Lord, I don't know how much that would cost if you took a game. I mean, you could take the Alabama-Tennessee game and move it to Atlanta and probably name it something. I just hope we don't start going to that in college football.
I think the big thing on that too, Barry, is that people that come in to spend the money that they spend in that area, spend the night buying food and doing this and doing that, it's gone. And not only the guaranteed deal, you know, the two teams themselves and the chance to see them play in person if you're around that, but not a chance, you can go over there and see them. I got that. But the money that is spent around people who bring their kids or, you know, families that come together or so forth, so a lot of money spent. A lot of the motel bill that they would be getting, you know, the motels that charging lose a chance to charge, and it's a bad deal. I think.
I ain't college footballs. I don't like the Red River rivalry. I don't like the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville. I get why you do it, but I think these games should be on the campuses. So I just think it's I just hope it doesn't set a trend. Now, maybe they're looking at it, and I don't know, John Cohen's trying to sell it. You're playing in a great venue and taking your team to Atlanta, but you're taking a home game away. We're trying to enhance our athletes and many opportunities we can get NIL money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's right. But I just think for the hometown there, the campus, the students, that's all part of the college experience is having these games on the campuses there. I think it's bad, and I hope it's not something that gets started. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Go all the way to Decatur. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up, Coach? I just got a couple things. Coach, I just want to let you know, man, I used to love to watch you coach the Tide back in the 90s.
Thank you.
You recruited one of our little hometown heroes, Kelly Rice. But I used to love to watch you coach.
Appreciate it.
I just want to get your opinion on how y'all feel about the game Saturday going up against Missouri. And then I want to touch on our coordinator, Ryan Grubb. I really haven't heard a lot of people comparing the coordinators that we had in the past, but what a difference a good coordinator makes. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to hang up.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Dad, just your thoughts about Alabama going to Missouri.
Barry, right after that, I think it's going to be a tough game. And I think you'll have to block them. You got to be tougher in men than you've ever been defensively in order to keep the people off of offensively in order to keep the people off the quarterback. And I think you have to establish some things offensively that you haven't been doing, not trick plays, but to show a little bit different things that you've been doing. I think Ryan Grubb is a good offensive coordinator because they've been winning since he gotten here. When they make a mistake and get beat, people will be down on him. But I would say you're gonna have to really play in the blocking schemes to win this game. Now, I don't want to go negative, but you think about this: where does Alabama go if they were to lose a 21-20 game? Where do they go? That's the loss to Florida State. So we'll see. Barry, go ahead.
Ike Grubb has done an excellent job. I think he has a quarterback that can run the system. I think last year they had a quarterback that they had to kind of coach around. He couldn't really run their system because he was not a great drop-back passer. So I think they're more comfortable with the playbook and all now with this guy that can kind of throw the ball around. He can spread it around. Like last year we just kind of threw the ball to Ryan Williams. This year we kind of share it. So that helps you as a coordinator when you got a guy that can throw like Ty Simpson. He also got good feet. He can get out of trouble. So I think, I don't know, it's kind of hard to judge Sheridan based on him trying to call plays with a probably a system that was not fit for Jalen Milroe. So, but Ryan Groves certainly, and if he continues to do as well as he is, then you'll have a hard time holding on to him. He'll move on and become a head coach, I'm sure, at some point here pretty soon. All right, we'll take a first break. 2 minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. That is 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. The city of Tuscaloosa is set to host the annual Tech or Treat event on Thursday, October 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gateway in Alberta. The free event is akin to a trunk or treat. They invite families and children to collect candy while engaging with STEM concepts through activities led by city departments and community organizations. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're starting to gain a little more volume in the area for your prime time on your Tuesday at that. On 43 southbound on 2 McFarland, usual slowdowns. That's going to take you back to Smith Street a bit. And then we've also got 2059. Actually, that's wide open, so nothing to worry about.
Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
A Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. Will have the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. For tomorrow, partially sunny. The chance of a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. All right, the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning. Hey, Coach. I got Coach Sanderson. I'm going to back you up. I've got some good stats for you if you want to hear it, if you'd like to.
Okay.
Missouri. Sure.
Sure.
Pass defense. Missouri is number 10 in the nation, averaging giving up 141 yards a game. Alabama's number 5 in the nation on pass defense. Rush defense, Missouri's number 1, giving up 62 yards a game. Alabama's number 87, giving up 155. Total defense, Missouri's number 2. Alabama's number 20. Pass offense, Alabama's number 5, 325 yards a game. Missouri's number 49, 255 yards a game. For comparative purposes, Ohio State's number 28 in pass offense. Rush offense, Missouri's number 3 in the nation, 292 yards a game. Alabama's number 104 at 126 yards per game. Total offense, Missouri's number 4 at 547 yards per game. Alabama's number 26 at 452 yards per game. For comparative purposes, Georgia's number 35 in the nation with 438 yards per game. Tyler's number 16 in the nation in passing. Prabula at Missouri's number 53 in the nation in passing. Hardy, their running back's number 1 in the nation at running. Alabama's got nobody in the top 100 in rushing. Receivers, Jeremy Bernard's number 42 in the nation with 392 yards. That guy, Coleman's number 47 at 386 yards per game. After that, Ryan Williams is number 81 in the nation, and Isaiah Horton is number 191 in the nation in receiving. So that's just some numbers. It's going to be a hard game. And one detail you can keep your eye on throughout the game, I hate their turf. They've got a synthetic artificial turf, a lot of slipping, a lot of sliding. The offensive line's got to dig in and hold their blocks. Our receivers have to dig in, hold their routes. There's a lot of slipping on the turf. Just keep that in mind while you're watching the game.
Listen, it sounds to me like, and you correct me, that you're better off trying to establish the pass rather than the run. And establishing the pass, it's got to be quick passes because they'll get to you too fast. I don't, maybe I'm wrong on that, but you mentioned that.
I agree. And I think Ty took a couple of sacks last week because he held on to the ball too long, and he can't do that this week. If he holds on to the ball too long this week, it'll result in 10-yard, 11-yard sacks, and Alabama's got to go forward. They can't get that crowd in the game, and once they start humming, they're hard to beat. And I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, if we can run the ball, if we see that we can run it, yeah. But I just think that they defend the run so bad and so good, and they stress that so much, it's going to be hard for us to get the running game going, I think.
Of course, they may be a great team. Guys, they played nobody, all right? I mean, they played – when they play Alabama, that'll be their sixth straight home game, all right? So mm-hmm. They've got their con. They played Central Arkansas. They played Kansas. They beat them 42-21. They played Louisiana. They played South Carolina at home and beat them 29-20, and they played UMass. All right? So, you know, you're going to build up some stats when you play UMass, Louisiana, Central Arkansas, and these teams. So, I'm not saying they're not a good team. I'm not saying you can compare scores. That means Alabama's going to go in there and win. But sometimes – And they've gotten their confidence because they've played a manageable schedule. If they would have played Alabama's schedule, what would Missouri's record be, you think, Phillip?
I totally agree with you, Barry. I do agree with it. I think their overall opponents are 10-17, and I think ours are 17-9, I believe, something like that anyway. One of their opponents has not even won a game. I think UMass got beat by somebody called Bradford or something like that. I don't even know who they are. But you're right. I think Kansas is probably better than Wisconsin, but not as good as Florida State and Georgia. South Carolina definitely is. You know, they got beat by Vanderbilt, too. So you're right. I agree with what you're saying. And we're definitely going to be the best.
I mean, that doesn't mean they're not good. I mean, people say, well, who have they played? Well, but if Alabama would have played this schedule, they'd have some unbelievable national statistics as well.
I agree with both of you. But I do think that because they have won, because they have the crowd with them, all they know is that the wins are big, that there'll be doubly excited to play the game. And they may, you may go into the game at the end of the first quarter, it may be 21-0 Alabama. But I think the last sentence that Barry said is a big sentence. That is that they're excited to play the game more so than ever, because they're probably not as good as they think they are, and they get better when they just happen to, if they get trounced, which I don't think they will, because I think the crowd will keep the pressure on them. I think that's the key to me.
That's a pretty good schedule. I think Hugh Freeze probably wish he'd have played that schedule. six straight home games. After this, they've got at Auburn, at Vandy. They have a pretty easy schedule, though. You know, at Auburn, at Vandy, Texas A&M at home, Mississippi State at home, at Oklahoma, at Arkansas. That's got to be one of the easiest schedules in the SEC, doesn't it? I think Sark, yesterday in his press conference, Sark's team hadn't played well. They asked him, was he surprised about where his team was? And he said, how many Division I teams are there? He said, there's 136. He said, well, if 135 of them went to Ohio State and Florida, how many of them would have lost those two games? So he was trying to put it. But I just think it's maybe the way they looked at Texas there. So these schedules, to me, are kind of unbalanced, guys. Some guys are playing really difficult schedules, and some guys in Missouri's is actually quite manageable, to be quite honest with you. I think we said that in the summer, didn't we, Philip?
I believe we did. And I'll tell you another thing, too. As far as the playoffs go, I look for Texas to be eliminated this weekend.
Do you think Oklahoma gets them?
I think they'll drop them.
Really?
I think they can't wait.
Why is Texas favored in this game?
I don't have any idea. I guess Mateer, his injury is probably affecting it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I still think Oklahoma's going to beat them. And I was going to ask Wint one thing. Last week when y'all were interviewing Reese, he said something kind of interesting. Since I'm from this neck of the woods, and I knew Bryant Lancaster at Valley High School, and he was coached by the legendary Richard Carter at Valley High, and he mentioned something about Bryant's recruiting, and I just wanted one of these days if you can talk about it, Wint,
about signing Lancaster.
Yes, sir.
We got him, and he was a very, very good high school player. Mm-hmm. Kevin Gray recruited him for us, and when he got with us, he struggled shooting the basketball.
Yep.
For some reason, the defense just kind of got to him, and he did not. But what a wonderful person he is, and kid he was, and what a plus he was for our team. Mm-hmm. And we were glad we had him. As far as just putting numbers up on the glass, putting numbers up for us, he did not do that.
Right.
We sent him to the foul. We started him. He had a struggle making free throws. Mm-hmm. We brought North Carolina in here to play us, in one of the great wins that we had. Mm-hmm. We started him, mm-hmm. and I started him because I felt like it was the fair thing to do. Not because he had done well, but because he was the kind of person that he was. Mm. And when he got in that game, anytime he got the ball, North Carolina fouled him.
Right.
And I forget how many times he went to the line, but he went several times, and we ended up substituting for him. But I think I'm answering your question correctly. He was a heck of a player in high school. When he got with us, he just struggled shooting a basketball against pressure defenses. He's out to be a wonderful. He's part preacher now. Works at Indian Hills in Tuscaloosa in the strength and conditioning place. So he's a wonderful kid. Yeah.
Well, that basketball team he played on: John Copeland, Lemansky Hall, Bryant Lancaster, Marcus Pollard, Stanley Jackson.
Right.
That's a team.
Yeah.
It's pretty good athletes there, isn't it?
Good God.
Yeah, a lot of good players up in North Alabama area, too. So, yeah. Philip, we appreciate you every day, man.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you looking for lunch plans today? I would recommend Thomas Rib Shack. Swing by there. Great soul food, great barbecue. You like to want the ribs, you want the chicken. You got the baked chicken there as well. Pork chops, fish, all the sides that you want, the macaroni and cheese we've talked about. How great the fried okra is. You got people coming over for the game on Saturday. Want to do a little tailgate? Just give them a call. Get that set up. 205-759-5010. Located 2931 15th Street. Swing by the day. They open at 10:30, so get in there early. Get you a great lunch and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. Kevin Skarbinski is next. He goes to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're starting to gain a little more volume in the area for your prime time on your Tuesday at that. On 43 southbound on 2 McFarland, usual slowdowns. That's going to take you back to Smith Street a bit. And then we've also got 2059. Actually, that's wide open, so nothing to worry about there between
language. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Well, he writes for the Birmingham News, has several of his podcasts he'll talk about at the end of the segment. Joins us every Tuesday, Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good, fellas. Good morning.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, here's the question I'd like to ask you. Is Texas A&M and Ole Miss as good as Georgia and Alabama? And the reason I say that, and I certainly don't want to leave out Missouri, but I won't do that now because they're scheduled to play. But A&M has won big. They beat the state at home. They got Florida team they can beat. Florida's better than anything. And Ole Miss is getting all the publicity, and they're playing Washington State. Are those two teams trying to figure out, are they as good as Georgia and Alabama? In your opinion, I think
on any given day, depending on where the game is played, okay, that any of those teams can beat the other. We'll find out a little more about Ole Miss and Georgia. Was that next week or the week after they play in Athens? So that'll be interesting. I don't think they've been tested necessarily at A&M and Ole Miss yet by the better teams in the league. I don't think LSU is one of the better teams in the league because its offense has been so poor. So I think they're capable, but they just haven't been tested. And we'll find out something interesting too. They haven't really been on the road. Texas A&M, of course, won at Notre Dame. So they do have a big road win on their schedule. They don't have an SEC road test yet. They will go to Florida. That will not be easy, as Texas found out. That's in College Station, because they beat Florida in Gainesville last year. So, look, the Texas A&M defense has gotten better, much better, the last couple of weeks after giving up 40 at Notre Dame. Ole Miss, we know what they can do offensively. That quarterback's been a revelation. So, we just don't know yet. I think this season, you're going to have two teams in the SEC championship game that have two conference losses. I think it's going to be difficult for anyone to go 7-1 in the league this year.
These schedules, they're just so unbalanced. I'm looking at Missouri. They're 5-0. Their first six games are at home. They've beaten Central Arkansas, probably a decent Kansas team, but it's at Missouri. They should win that. Louisiana, they beat South Carolina, who's not great, and UMass. So now they got Alabama coming in. If Auburn would have played that schedule, Hugh Freeze may be looking at getting a raise. But the schedule that they played, now he's on the hot seat over there, as poorly as they played offensively. How these schedules lay out and these athletic directors, I guess you have nothing to do with your conference schedule, but these schedules make a big difference on what your fan base thinks about your team.
Oh, no doubt. And certainly Missouri has not challenged itself in the conference. Kansas is a nice win, and it's a traditional rival for them going back a long way. But they're not out there playing Notre Dame or Florida State and Tallahassee or teams like that. They have fattened up on a soft non-conference schedule.
Smart.
For a number of years now.
That's probably smart.
You know, and if, you know, the problem becomes if they are even as close as to good as they seem to be based on their play so far, regardless of the opponents, and they get to 9-3 or 10-2, is that could come back to bite them in the playoff discussion. That's, you know, but do you see your program as a playoff contender? and do you schedule accordingly? I mean, Alabama does it, Georgia does it. If you really think of yourself as that kind of program, then you've got to play. You got to play some. You know, look, there's a lot. There's a wide variety of Power Four teams available. You know, it's a lot different playing Notre Dame than it is playing Kansas. It's a lot different playing Ohio State as Texas did than it is playing Kansas. So, you know, if you can get away with it now, the problem becomes you have not been tested. You have not faced someone of equal or better talent than you. You're about to. Does that prepare you for that or does it not? I guess we'll find out Saturday.
I'm on record starting the show. I don't like what I understand NIL money in Auburn's struggling, so they got to have some money to maintain the recruits they got. So they take a home game and they move it to Atlanta. I don't like it at all, Kevin. College football is meant to be on the campuses. People eating in the restaurants in Auburn, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, staying in the hotels, walking around campus. You take these games down, you move them. Like Missouri has 8 home games. Now Auburn's going to have 6 next year. I hope this is not a new trend in college football where we're taking these games, bigger games and moving them to neutral sites for NIL money. I just think it's, can you imagine moving a game here in Tuscaloosa, how much that would cost the city of Tuscaloosa? I just don't like it. Your thoughts about it?
I'm with you. I've screamed that from the hilltops for years that college football should be played on college campuses. And particularly in this case, because this is the second half, the return game of a home and home. And you went and played Baylor on their campus in their home stadium. And instead of in the return game, them going to Jordan-Hare, now they go to Atlanta. And yes, there will be far more Auburn fans than there will be Baylor fans. It will be a home crowd advantage, but it's not the same. And it is clearly a money grab. We should add, SEC schools make an awful lot of money on home games. I don't know what the differential is there, but no, I don't like it at all. And I'll tell you what, more importantly than what I think of it, Auburn, the reaction I've seen has been strongly negative, strongly opposed to this move and any future moves like it that they may be contemplating. To play only 6 home games in a season, that's ridiculous. And to do it in a year when they're going to have 5 road games in the SEC next year with the new 9-game schedule. They only get 4 home games the first year. And it's not the greatest schedule because they got to go to Alabama. They got to go to Georgia. And there's a couple of really difficult ones in there as well. So to play another game away from home, I just think it's wrong on so many levels. And at some point, you have to be more creative to find ways to generate revenue than to just voluntarily let someone buy a home game out from under you.
Yeah, that.
Will 2 more close losses by Alabama with a win over Georgia keep them in the fight for the 12? I think it's a great
game. I think so.
You do?
Yeah, I think so, Wimp. I think there are going to be, particularly from the SEC, 9-3 teams that are very much in the playoff discussion as we get deep into November because of the depth of the league. A great team has not emerged, and it may not emerge. There may be no one team that is head and shoulders above everyone else. Someone will win the SEC championship game. Someone will be the best team in the league and will earn a ring and an automatic spot in the playoff. However, no one right now looks like it is so much better than everyone else that it would be an easy pick home or away against anyone else in the league. We saw it with Florida and Texas. Texas still hasn't looked like a championship contender. this entire season. They still haven't beaten a Power 4 team, and we're here we are in the, going into the second Saturday of October. So you can be – I think this is a year where 9-3 got serious discussion last year with Alabama. And as always, though, it's going to depend on – who do you lose to? How does it happen? Are you competitive in that game? You know, all those details. But yes, I will be surprised if there are 9-3 teams from the SEC that are not under heavy discussion in, when it comes to the playoff debate.
My feeling is that Georgia's going to continue to be good. Alabama did a great job in that game. Georgia should have kicked the field goal, to me, that win there over the Texas is Alabama, Texas, and Georgia picked 1, 2, and 3. Texas has fallen on their face. Alabama's fallen on their face. I guess, you know, Georgia has 2 to one of the other 3. I just think that the Georgia win keeps Alabama in the hunt for the 12. I hope it does. Go ahead, Barry.
That's one that will have staying power, because I'm with you, Wimp. I think Georgia is going to be they're going to be in contention. They may be in the Atlanta for the SEC championship game. They're going to win a lot more games.
Do you think, we're on Kevin Skarbanski, do you think NIL to the quarterback, that the quarterbacks are getting, keep these coaches from making changes? After I watched Ty Simpson this year, I'm not saying he should have started over Milroe, but by God, he should have gotten in the game. Like at Oklahoma, these places, this kid's pretty darn good. You know, I'm watching Jackson Arnold now. That they've committed so much money to him. Eventually, I mean, you're going to have to try somebody else. I'm watching Manning. He's not very good right now, Kevin. They got to have somebody over there that you try, but you invest so much in this starting quarterback, and you have these people help you get the money to get them. Are coaches held to that? Are they afraid to make changes because of what you're paying this main guy? Seems to happen in the NFL a lot as well. Is that where we've gotten to?
You know, I don't know that any coach would admit it, but it's got to be in their minds. It has to be. But what has to override that, or what should override that, is doing what's best for your football team to win games. And at some point, you mentioned Jackson Arnold. And yesterday, again, Hugh Freeze is talking about the 11 billionth time, getting Jackson Arnold to let the ball go, to play more free. And that's what did Alabama say about Ty Simpson after the first game? Let it fly. Make a decision, let it fly. And man, has Ty Simpson done that since then? He's been so good. That touchdown pass to Jeremy Bernard at the end of the first half to tie the game, that's a pro throw. He has been so good. And if Jackson Arnold continues on the path that he's on, and Hugh Freeze doesn't make a change at some point, even if it's for a series or two, then you have to wonder what's going on, because you invest all this money in quarterbacks before you ever fully know how they're going to perform, because Jackson Arnold was not a proven finished product when Auburn signed him to all those deals for the NIL money. So and now, you know, you're in a crossroads. You're about to play Georgia. You lose that game, which I think they will. I'll be surprised if they don't. I think they'll be competitive for a while. I think the crowd at night will help. But Georgia is a much better football team. And I think Georgia wins. And you lose the game, you're 3-3. And again, how do you lose the game? How does the offense look? Because it was as bad as possible at Texas A&M. And if it looks like anything like that again, and Jackson Arnold plays the entire game, and then he starts next week against Missouri, then there's something going on beyond just trying to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like if Manning continues to play like this, isn't Sark going to have to go buy a guy in the portal next year that's better?
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. The return on investment in Arch Manning has not been very profitable for Texas so far. And at some point, you know, we're halfway through the season practically. Everybody's played 5 or 6 games now. At some point, you have to see some improvement. Yeah, he made a couple of throws late against the prevent defense, but he's got to start making plays. He is nothing like the quarterback people built him up to be. Some of that's not his fault. But at some point, you got to make plays. At some point, you have to be the quarterback they envisioned you would be, and he hasn't come close to that. So Sark's going to have some interesting decisions to make both the rest of this season and depending on how it plays out after the season.
Yeah, that.
Well, when we started the show, Kevin, I said this, and Barry said, what? And you may say, what? And I won't go any further. There are some coaches that are satisfied and happy today. Okay. Yep.
That's it. That's the statement.
Why do you keep saying that?
There are some – wait, say that again, Wimp.
I thought surely there are some coaches, and I was been one of them when I was – there are some coaches that are happy and satisfied today. I'm willing to put y'all in a room. Put y'all in a room and shut the door. Put you in a room and let y'all play. You too. Y'all can't play tiddlywinks in there.
I think Kevin DeBoer's happy today. The teams that won are probably happy today, but
I don't know that anyone's satisfied. If you're satisfied, Whip, if you're a coach and you're satisfied at this point in the season, I don't care how good you've been so far, there's things you can do better. There's mistakes you can clean up.
Barry, it's your time to play tiddlywinks with Kevin. Y'all play tiddlywinks. Shut the door and play tiddlywinks. That's what y'all deserve to play.
Barry, what's happening? What is happening right now?
I don't know.
I made one statement. What a show we've got. We got a great show.
I mean, he can just make some random statement. He expects you to decipher it.
Get in the tiddlywinks game and do not cheat.
It's like trying to decipher one of his texts. When he texts you, you have to look at it for like, God's green earth is he trying to say? Because he hasn't figured out you can back up, Kevin. You can delete if you say something.
Or one of his tweets. Yeah. Or one of his tweets that appears to be in code.
Yeah. You're like, huh? You read it like, This guy.
I'm older than
Doug. I don't know what kind of English they were teaching at Coffee High School. That English teacher needs to be fired.
A lot of guys my age don't know where they are.
That's true.
I can get the tiddlywinks. I hope. Let us know next week who wins the tiddlywinks game. Golly Moses, ain't Pete.
A lot of coaches that are satisfied and happy today. We're supposed to know what that means. So.
Great day in the morning.
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
You think Hugh Freeze is happy today? You think he's satisfied?
No. I'll say this. Guess what? I don't think the athletic director is either.
You may be onto something. I'll tell you the fans aren't. A lot of fans aren't, and there are boosters that aren't. I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll say this for them. If place will be packed Saturday night.
It'll be as loud as it's ever been.
And they haven't beaten Georgia since the 2017 regular season. This will be 9 straight, and that should ring a bell because their worst stretch in the Alabama rivalry was 9 straight losses when Bear Bryant was there, of course. So if Auburn loses, then they've lost 9 straight to Georgia. And by the way, they're retiring Cam Newton's jersey, and they're having a little celebration at the game. So that will just amp it up even more.
Yeah.
Now, can Auburn take advantage? I wouldn't, be shocking if they did, but I would be surprised. I just don't think they're good enough to win a game like
that. Can you imagine, Kevin and Dad, if Nick Saban was your head coach? And your quarterback came to you and said, hey, Johnny Manziel and I are good buddies. He's kind of mentoring me now. He's going to stand on our sideline during the game, and he's going to wear my jersey over there, and he's going to be tweeting during the game. He's tweeting about Wiley and Cover 2. Why did Clark Lee allow this? I'm blown away that you would let Johnny Manziel be on your side with your Diego Pavia. Who approved that, Kevin?
Well, obviously the head coach you know, had to allow it, I would think.
He's okay with
it? I would think someone ran it by him. I don't know, but I don't know how much of an influence he is or should be on Diego Pavia. Certainly, he can be an example to not be like him off the field, on the sideline, gesturing to fans, which apparently both of them did on Saturday, both Diego Pavia and Johnny Manziel. And having said that, the dude in the cargo shorts at the end for Alabama.
Stop. Yeah.
Just stop. Walk away. Go celebrate. Your team just won. Be happy. Don't be chirping with a... I know he's 24. Everybody said, oh, he's a grown man. He dished it out. He can't take it. He's 24. Let him walk into the locker room. Let him be... If he wants to be a punk, let him be a punk.
Yeah, because you know what happens? He grabbed it, whatever. When you act like that towards him, you were acting just like him. Now you're coming in and going to his level. That's what you've done. So
yes. Bad behavior. Bad behavior over here doesn't justify bad behavior in return.
No.
Kevin, when they're honoring him at the Auburn game, they're honoring Urban Meyer, who dismissed him for stealing that stuff at Florida.
That's why, you know, somebody wrote a column. It was Matt Hayes wrote a column saying the answer for Auburn is to hire Urban Meyer. Fire Hugh Freeze, hire Urban Meyer. And Matt apparently forgot that Urban Meyer also was let's just say helpful in trying to get Cam Newton suspended during the 2010 season. Let's just say he might have shared some information with some people behind the scenes that helped that story blow up. And there are a lot of Auburn people who have not forgotten, and they would sooner. I was trying to think of a really extreme example or analogy. I won't go there, but the last thing you will ever see, in my opinion, is Urban Meyer coaching the Auburn Tigers.
No, I don't think he'll be there for the celebration.
No, he won't. Neither will Dan Mullen.
That's right. Well,
although, Dan, are they still undefeated? Is Dan Mullen still undefeated? How about what if Dan Mullen makes the playoff?
Yes, he's still undefeated.
What if he goes to UNLV and they make the playoff?
he can recruit because he's where he is and there's all kind of money there. He can grab a bunch of it. Bunch of money.
I don't know.
He can get money off the table at the casinos.
If they can beat Boise, win that conference, run the table, who knows? Yeah. You never know.
All right, Kevin, tell everybody where they can get all your stuff.
Yeah, best thing to do, follow on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with my two columns a week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com. I'm subscribed to the Birmingham News. There is no print version, of course, anymore. Also, follow me and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Kevin Skarbinski-Skarbo Knows. Check out my podcasts. There's one up now from yesterday about where Alabama and Auburn are now, where they go from here. And you can check that out twice a week.
Thank you, Kevin.
As we close the show, the coaches are satisfied and happy today.
Okay, Wimp. I'm going to be scratching my head for a while over that one.
Okay.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. All right, we'll take this break. And we get back, we'll have a little sound. Also, take your phone calls. We got the Kalen DeBoer sound from yesterday. But also, love to have your phone calls. Listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It looks like we've got some big trouble in Northport. 69 southbound onto Mid-Larry Road. Do watch out for a possible accident here. You are gridlocked solid back to Forest Glen Boulevard. And you've also got a bumper-to-bumper delay on Mid-Larry Road.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
from the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers lead 2-0 in their best-of-5 NL Division Series after winning at Philadelphia again 4-3. L.A. scored 4 times in the 7th inning. The Phillies got 1 run in the 8th, 2 in the bottom of the 9th, but fell just short. The save to Roky Sasaki, who got the final out. Blake Treinen of L.A. had allowed 3 straight hits to start the bottom of the 9th. The Dodgers have now won 9 games in a row. Their last loss was 2 weeks ago. Top seed Milwaukee up 2-0 after beating the Cubs again 7-3. The Brewers hit 3 home runs after allowing a 3-run shot in the top of the 1st. What a Monday night football game at Jacksonville. The Jags beat Kansas City on a touchdown with under 30 seconds left, 31-28. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence with 2 TD runs, including the game winner. He had 1 touchdown pass, 1 interception, 1 fumble at the goal line, but the Jaguars are 4-1. The Chiefs committed 13 penalties.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 699. That's 699. The code again is 699.
Free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. We'll have the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow partially sunny. The chance of a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You can schedule a service. Do it right there at the website at TuscaloosaToyota.com. I'm going to swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard. See Justin. He'll take absolutely great care of you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. Bring Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
All right.
I tell you, I'm mystified by Coach's statement. I cannot figure it out.
Not me either.
But anyway,
Tom, you hadn't caught on to it either, Tom.
I haven't. I can't figure it out.
Why, crap! The way you study stuff, I thought you'd be the first one to catch on.
I usually know what you're talking about, but this one's got me.
Well, I ain't telling.
Well, the reason I called, Coach, I know you have a lot of respect and admiration for Greg McElroy. He's bright and articulate and very good. I know that you like to have conversations with him.
I like him better than I used to.
Right. And it takes a little bit for Greg to grow on you a little bit, but once you kind of figure out where he's coming from, you kind of respect what he says. And Saturday on the broadcast, I thought he made 3 great points about the Alabama Vanderbilt game. And the first one was he pointed out that Coach Beck the offensive coordinator for Vanderbilt, how he schemed his run game and how from week to week it changed. He runs the same plays, but he disguises them in a way you don't know where they're coming from or what they're doing. Obviously, his kids know where they're going with the ball, but nobody else really knows. And he pointed that out, and as you watch the game, you could see that that would happen with Coach Beck. And the second thing he pointed out was when Alabama made the adjustment on defense about halfway through the second quarter, Greg picked up on that they moved their – Alabama moved their linebackers back about 5 yards. And that gave them the ability to read the run of Vanderbilt a lot better. And they moved those safeties back because they were all jammed up on the line of scrimmage there, and Vanderbilt broke a 65-yard touchdown run. Well, okay. The adjustment was back everybody up a little bit, and they started playing defense a lot better. And if you listen to Coach Kane last week, he said it ain't the front guys that's the problem. It's the back-end guys that's the problem. They made the adjustment, and that defense played pretty darn good the second quarter on. But that Greg McElroy picked up on that immediately and brought that out. And the third thing he did, and I think this has been going on with this defense for the whole time, last year and this year, everybody's trying to be a damn hero. Instead of playing and doing your job, everybody's been trying to do it, be a hero, and he pointed that out. He said, don't be a hero, just do your job. And by God, that's when they kind of started coming together and you started seeing a fairly decent defensive effort.
Yeah, I think they get out of position sometimes trying to do it too quickly, and they lose their position defensively at times. I agree. I think it's true.
Tom?
I think that's exactly right. And it looks like what Greg was saying was hero ball. They're giving you the effort, but they're making bad decisions, if you would. And that leads to them getting out of the gap, getting out, you know, they're supposed to be holding that gap on the front line. But I guess the reason I called in to say what a dang good job he does in his analytical part.
So you, do you like him?
I'm just saying he does a good job. I don't go down that road. Oh, you're a Greg McElroy fan.
No, I'm asking you, do you like him calling games?
Yeah, he's better than Herb Street, and McDonald's better than Chris Fowler.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that.
Because Herb Street, I don't know, he's such a candy-mandy Pollyanna. I don't know what it is, but it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a guy that says things. What happens to him, Tom, is that he will say things that are questionable that Alabama did early in the year, last year and this year too. And when he does, people get mad at him. They get all frustrated with him and they don't like him.
Is that Herb Street? Greg
McElroy. Yeah, Alabama fans get mad at him.
You're exactly right.
He's correct. In fact, the matter, at one point in time when they were going to have people in to talk to a group of Alabama people, they turned him down.
Well, I can believe that because, you know, the one thing that Alabama fans hate more than anything is the damn truth.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nick Saban, I don't know if he feels the way he acts, but he pulls for Alabama. He talks glowingly about Alabama. He says we Why can he do that? But why can't Greg McElroy do that? I mean, it's the end of the day. I mean, that's where he went to school. He played quarterback there. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I like when Saban does it, it doesn't come across wrong to me. I think people get so worried about that. Alabama people will be fine with it. But why is that such a big deal to people?
Well, I think that Greg has a view of how a broadcaster should be.
Sure.
He should tell the truth, and he should give credit to where credit's due. If it's the other team, so be it.
Yeah.
And he's that kind of person, and he's going to do it. And to me, he just does what's right in the broadcast booth. He really does. Now, there's videos out of him prior to the game going down, talking to the coaches at Alabama, talking to the players at Alabama. They all were glad to see him. They all were shaking hands with him. Everybody's smiling. They were picking at his children and all like that. But when he goes in that broadcast booth, he takes on the responsibility of being neutral, and he should.
The worst guy out there to listen to, in my opinion, I'm sure he's a great guy, is Joe Tessitore. Everything is like, every play is like you just won the national championship. It's so dramatic. I cannot believe they have not told him to tune it down a little bit. It's way too much.
Say what you see. Don't add anything to it. We can make up our minds whether it's epic or not.
If it's a touchdown to win the game, yeah, that's epic. But when they get a first down, he acts like it's – they just won the national championship. It's so annoying.
It's only a first down.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's like kids getting up. They make a tackle after a 5-yard loss, and that like they won the game with that tackle, and they just got run over.
Yeah, and they're down 25. They're standing. That's they're number exactly one, right. And they're number one. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wanted to bring that up.
Hey Tom.
Yes.
I think you can go ahead and join Kevin and Barry on that Tiddlywinks game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, let me ask you this. Are we got to wait to Friday to get an explanation of that statement?
You may never get one, but that Tiddlywinks game.
I don't know that three of you can play Tiddlywinks. One of you's going to have to drop your Tiddly. One of us will have to drop out in the Tiddlywinks game. I'm not sure which one.
I mean, he just makes some random statement and think you're supposed to decipher.
Barry starts criticizing my text because he says I text
back. You do? You're horrible. You're the worst texter ever. Horrible. Horrible.
That is funny.
Have you ever gotten a text from him? Have you ever read his stuff on social media?
Can you imagine as old as I am?
Yeah,
knowing where I am, Tom, and your son criticizes.
Have you ever read anything he's put on social media, Tom?
You criticize me
when you read it, you're like,
Tom,
huh?
Isn't that awful? Criticize me?
What is he trying to say? Huh?
I get texts all the time from him, and when we're both watching the same golf tournament, and it makes all the sense in the world.
Well, I guess you can read jibber jabber.
That's why I'm disappointed myself for not interpreting the statement.
Yeah. Well. All right, Tom. Have a good day.
See y'all.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Coach Caleb. We'll also keep the phone lines up at 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, delays have thinned out considerably up in Northport. 69 southbound onto Mid-Larry Road had an earlier accident. It looks like they've cleared a lot of that, or at least to the shoulder. Mid-Larry Road also is still just a bit slow on the eastbound lanes, but not near the backup it had. Now, coming on down here, 243 southbound onto McFarland Boulevard.
Pitwell Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Tuesday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama offensive lineman Michael Carroll.
I've enjoyed the season really well. I feel like we've gotten off to a great start and teams coming together.
As the weeks have gone on, we've seen more playing time. What do you feel like you're doing to earn some of that playing time?
I would say I feel like I'm building the coaches' trust in me because I've been putting in hard work and listening to what they tell me and then just going out there and executing.
What do you remember about your first play when you first got called on? It's like, all right, this is no longer practice. This is not a scrimmage. You're going in for real in a football game.
I mean, I was prepared for it, but it was a little nerve-wracking. So they started off with a pass play, but ever since then, I've just built more confidence.
How do you feel like this offensive line, just in general, is working better as the season goes along?
I definitely feel like we're a tight unit, and we always try to help each other, you know, in different areas, critique and technique, just to overall better the performance of the group.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide!
Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. We'll have the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. For tomorrow, partially sunny. The chance of a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry. On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room. All right, let's get right to this Chase's Kalen DeBoer press conference. Go ahead and play that opening statement from Coach DeBoer. He always meets with the media every Monday, he and the two coordinators, and here's what Coach DeBoer had to say yesterday.
Just proud of the team and the competitiveness we showed on Saturday. Definitely did not start fast and up to our liking there, but we never really flinched, and I think just the spirit of our guys on the sideline, what the energy was there and also in the locker room at halftime, just really showed that our guys are understanding the fight that it takes each and every week in an SEC game for four quarters to get a win. And so got a couple takeaways that were key, time of possession, something that certainly was a positive for Vanderbilt and will be again this week against Missouri, something that we took advantage of. Thought there was, again, some things that we did better, but some things that we definitely got to improve on. And, you know, it's a hard reset this week going into Missouri. I think our guys, you know, understood that on Sunday, just making that and flipping the switch to where we got to move forward. We got a very good football team coming off a bye week. We got to play a 11 o'clock kickoff and on the road. So we just got to be ready to get ready to roll tomorrow. Have a great week of practice. And the guys, I think, are, you know, now into that just, you know, you know, rinse and repeat kind of mode, you know, each and every week, understanding the process. And we got to keep continue to get better at the process because, again, those things that happen early in the game or our lack of execution early in the game, you know, that happened for a reason. You know, some of it's your opponent, but some of it's just we got to do our job better. And so that's going to be the challenge going ahead here. And, you know, again, Missouri poses a lot of problems for you, just what they do physically, running the football. I mean, they're dominant against the run. They're dominant. Time of possession, put a lot of points on the board and hold teams down, you know, with the limited possessions you're probably going to get. So Coach Drinkwitz has done a great job building that program up, been super consistent here with the wins, but also just consistent each and every week with what you're going to get. And, you know, we're going to be looking forward to a great challenge on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Nick on the far right.
All right. Any comments about that?
No, it's kind of coaches talk a little bit. But, you know, knowing that the team is really into the game was certainly far-fetched from the Florida State game. So, you know, making those comments are fine. I think he just pretty much talks about team-wise. He's not going to get I like him a great deal as a person, but you're not going to get a lot of information from him.
Yeah. All right, they asked him about Ty Simpson, complacency through the season. Ty's done terrific. Here's what Coach had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a reason to be complacent yet because we've been, you know, still early in the season. And, you know, just that's the way we talk in the program, you know, just with it ain't good enough. Like there's so much area and you're working on things and you want to acknowledge improvement and you want to acknowledge the ways that we fight. But, you know, from an execution standpoint, there was a lot of stuff that we can do better. And I think Ty recognized that. He felt that. You can, you know, we're addressing it on the sideline. He can feel it. He knows what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, he understands. And, you know, he's past the point now where he's got to try to prove to people that he can do it. He's done it at a high level. So now it's about, you know, his leadership with our team and, you know, helping us be the best version that we can each and every week as we improve.
How much have you seen Ty grow since that Florida State game? It's been a ton, right?
Boy, has he? Yeah, he really has. I think he was probably a little bit out of it a little bit in that game. I didn't think he was quite as good, but he even in that game, he threw it in the hands of his receivers. I thought, you know, he made a couple of, you know, and he's only had one interception. He threw it a little bit in the double coverage in the Vanderbilt game. And, but he is, they worked very, very hard with the three guys, the three quarterbacks, to really work hard on not throwing in double coverage. From what I can find out, that was their main topic right there. Not don't throw it into double coverage. Don't let us lose the football. And all three kids, two of them are not playing, of course. They're probably ready to play and excited to play and hopefully they'll stay. But this is going to be a very tough mental approach for these two guys that are left. I don't want to talk negative, but I know how coaching is, and you know much more than I do. It is a mental approach. You're coaching a team now. We're down to it, folks, of completely money and playing time. Those two factors. And this is a big-time mental approach. I think Barry would agree.
You know, one thing when you get in this league, like they played Georgia, and then you think Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt's the best Vanderbilt team we've seen in a while. Now you're going to Missouri. Then you got Tennessee here. Then you're going to South Carolina. Then you got LSU and Oklahoma. I think that's where it's more difficult to coach at a place like Alabama because you got to get these guys up every week. You got to put the game behind you. In the Pac-12, when you're there at Washington or wherever he was, I just don't think you ran through gauntlets like this. So, you know, learning how to – yeah, what to do with your players, when to back off of them, when, hey, they're dead, and we got to practice easier today. It just takes its toll. They did ask him about, has he ever been through a tough stretch of games like this before? Here's what Kalen DeBoer had to say about that.
With your team?
Yeah, I think there's always been times where you look at a month and you're like, you know, back in whatever month in the spring the schedule comes out and you're like, okay, that's going to be a grind. But you don't even look at it that way. You look at one game and you focus on that one game. And that's what we did against Georgia. And that's what we did against Vanderbilt. And now that's what we got to do against Missouri. You focus on only that game. And when you do it, all of a sudden you find yourself going through the month and you're like, okay, like we've gotten better and okay, we got the win. And, you know, again, just focusing on the process, focusing on what it has to look like as we refine everything we're doing, you know, just competing at the highest level. When you just focus on those things that you can control, the schedule, you know, you work through it one by one and, you know, you end up, usually, if you got the talent, you got the people, and you catch a break here and there, you end up on the right side of it.
Can you imagine looking at that schedule and your Auburn or your South Carolina? Alabama looks at it, you know, it's still a gauntlet, but, you know, at least they have talent there. Some of these teams don't have the talent. So you start looking as a coach saying, which one of these games are we going to actually win? But that is a gauntlet to go through that and get them ready each and every week, because every game's different.
Yeah, I think it is very totally different, and it's, you know, it's you can't rest on your laurels, and you're dealing with kids, and you're dealing with, you know, kids' parents, and you're dealing, you know, it's coaching is not easy. Even, you know, from Barry's standpoint, where he is with high school kids, and it's the same thing. No, Barry's different. It's no different. You know, transfer very quickly in college, but you're not going to transfer basically in high school much. But it's all the same mentally, and it is not easy, and there is not an answer. And the answer is it lies in the minds and thoughts of the player, that players themselves with their parents, and that's a booger bear. That's a booger bear to handle.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take this break. We'll get back. We'll do the vinegar tip for this Tuesday. We also can take your phone calls. Before we do any of that, though, let's tell them about our great friends over at Bryant Bank.
Well, Bryant Bank is outstanding, and I talk about the personal and business accounts that you have, but you're two. If you want them, they'll take good care of them. They'll be interested in you as a person, and they'll do everything they possibly can to make you satisfied with what they do for you. Your money is going to be safe, which is the biggest statement I have, and you will enjoy being around the people at Bryant Bank. I'm in there I drive by a lot here where it's in Birmingham to do various things. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room.
All right, we'll get back. We'll open the phone lines 205-342-9904. And somebody stopped me yesterday and said, that vinegar tip on corns, am I crazy? He's already given that one. I said, well, maybe that was for your left foot. He did the right foot the first time. So,
boy, I mean, that guy's listening.
Yeah, he was listening. He said, I thought I was crazy. I said, well, that's your left foot. Yeah, on your left foot, do that on your left foot. This is a Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, delays have thinned out considerably up in Northport. 69 southbound onto Mid-Larry Road had an earlier accident. It looks like they've cleared a lot of that, or at least to the shoulder. Mid-Larry Road also is still just a bit slow on the eastbound lanes, but not near the backup it had. Now, coming on down here, 243 southbound onto McFarland Boulevard, you definitely will hit those brakes pretty often. And on McFarland, between Watermelon and 43, that's actually open with your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Side locker room coverage at ttown.com. That will get you right there to Michael McGuire. He's sponsoring this vinegar tip for this Tuesday. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. All right, what do we got for this?
For the next few days, for the next few times, I'm going to talk a little bit about how to keep your laundry clean and things like that. So I'm going to, so don't be saying that I'm saying the same thing every day, because I'm going to use some of this stuff that we have. First thing I'm going to talk about is fabric rinse when you want to just rinse your stuff. So what you do is your clothes accumulate a lot of soap residue. So if you want to, they're going to look a little bit dingy, and the leftover soap sort of is trapped in the fibers. So what you do is you add a, now listen to me now. When you start to wash it, you add a cup of white vinegar to the rinse water in your washing machine. The acid in the vinegar will dissolve the residue, and the clothes will look brighter. They will smell nice and fresh. Now, you goobers that got dirty clothes out there, a bunch of you listening to the show got a bunch of dirty clothes. And you wash them a lot. You wash them, do one time, and wash them in vinegar a couple of times. Put in your washing machine, you're going to find that your clothes are going to look a lot better. I'm going to be talking a little bit about all this kind of stuff the rest of the show this week. That's a good tip.
All right, so vinegar's going to get those clothes looking better. That's brought to you by a great friend, Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, right across from Indian Hills over there. Go see Michael today. He'll set you right up with any type of insurance that you need. 205-752-8500. All right, Chase, real fast, let's get back to Coach DeBoer. Let's play that last clip. And I don't know if this is necessarily a trap game because Missouri's 5-0. I wouldn't call it a trap game. But I guess somebody asked how coaches prepare his team for trap games. Whoever asked that question don't know what a trap game actually means. Because this certainly is not a trap game. This is a game you better. I think the line went down to 2.5 at one point yesterday. I got to check to see where it is now. But here's what Coach DeBoer had to say about that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're 5-0. They're a ranked team. And so, you know, I think the whole thing isn't like there's not, it's not a surprise that we're facing this team that we're, you know, that's going to be at a high level on the road. And so it's taken all of our experiences that we've been through and applying it. Knowing that going on the road is hard in the SEC, knowing that any game in the SEC is hard, and then taking our lessons learned or experiences, what I like to refer to them, and just understanding how we've become successful and how we've had improvement here. It just goes back to shutting up and doing the work, you know, showing up and doing the work, doing those things each and every day that lead to a feeling of confidence that allows you to go out on the field on Saturdays and be successful and play be the best version of yourselves. And, you know, you've heard it from us. I mean, there's so many things that we fell short on that, you know, really foundationally go back to the preparation or lack of that we didn't have. And it might just be one play. It might be one person in that one play. So it's not the whole unit or a whole mindset where guys are overlooked. It's just one guy's got to do his job better. And all of a sudden, you know, that's going to eliminate an explosive run. And so, one guy doing a better job in pass protection, and all of a sudden now we're converting a third down where a guy was wide open that we could have, you know, had an explosive play, maybe even a touchdown on in the first quarter. So just got to keep the pedal down. That's what our guys have done a great job of. They haven't listened to what's outside. You can't help but know that it's out there or hear it even a little bit. Whether it was the negative talk or the pats on the back, it means nothing. Our guys got to keep moving forward. They got a long ways. I mean, I think we can see what the ceiling is, and it's much higher than what we performed even on Saturday. And that's what they got to be excited about, that they haven't reached that. And that's what's got to be the challenge moving forward.
All right.
Pretty good there.
Yeah. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought he talked about the minds. And the minds make you what you are physically. I mean, if you're dying to do something, won't really want to do something, you do it better than if you just don't really bother him as much. So I thought that was good.
You know, I laugh, Chase, and you have to hear it all day, poor thing. Alabama fans calling in and saying, well, you know, that game could have, we missed a field goal. We could have easily scored 40-some and beat them 42, you know. And I want to say, yeah, you could have. And also, yeah. Vanderbilt could have not turned that ball over twice in the red zone, and that game would have been, you know, going down to the last series if Vanderbilt doesn't turn it. So you can say that, but you also can say that, but they never say anything about Vanderbilt turning it over in the red zone. They threw a pick, and they fumbled it, and Ty went on the, after they scored, you go up 14-7, now Ty, that minute something drive he did at the end of the second quarter was terrific there. But they only look at it as to where, well, we could have scored 40-something. They don't look at it as the mistakes that Vanderbilt made. They could have made this game a lot closer, or even Vanderbilt possibly winning this game. So the score was not even close to how close this game was, but when you looked at the final margin.
Well, I tell you what, that's exactly right. This game could have been played. Well, I didn't want to get on here Monday and talk about the two plays that Vanderbilt was disappointed in, but that's the truth, and Barry's correct. And I know that some of you guys have called in and said they adjusted their defense. You got to give Alabama a lot of credit for moving their guys back or whatever they did to adjust their defense some. So. And it's sort of what Coach is talking about when he talked, that they, you know, they adjusted, made some adjustments. But Bear's right. This was a Booger Bear game, and I hate to tell you, but I think this next game is going to be a Booger Bear game.
I just those two turnovers, and Vanderbilt normally doesn't turn the ball over, so I you got to look at it. That's how the coaches look at it. Hey, guys, hey, now, give Alabama credit. They stripped the ball defensively. They made the play to get the interception there. He stepped in front there. So you got to give – but I'm just saying it wasn't like Vanderbilt was not moving the ball. They were moving the ball. They just made mistakes in the red zone. So you credit Alabama's defense there. But I'm sure the coaches are looking at that. Like, this game was – pretty darn close. One mistake, one or two plays here or there, and this would have been a less than a one-score game there. So, you could go down 21-7. They don't turn that ball over in that red zone. So, I think Vanderbilt's pretty good. I think that's a heck of a win.
Well, when you score that last touchdown, and you're a gambler, and everybody is to some extent. Everything that they did is correct. You know, that last touchdown, if you don't make that last touchdown, you're second guessing everybody. And that was big for people who, you know, who wager, and there's a lot of wagering going on. So I think what Barry said is correct. It was much tougher game than the score indicated.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, we'll take this last break. We come back. We have the phone lines 205-342-9904. Also, we'll have to do that blue plate special tomorrow, Dad, because we will be out Thursday and Friday this week. So we're going to get the blue plate tomorrow, so we look at some of these games. That blue plate is brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in the industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. That's Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337 or bhardenconst.com.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we're going to feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Brooks Austin. We'll break down college football. We'll look ahead to the Missouri Tigers on a Southern Alehouse school prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, the game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking a lot better up in Northport. And this, we had an earlier accident on 69 at Mitlary Road that has since cleared. Coming down to the immediate area, looking at 43 southbound on to McFarland, has thinned out considerably as well. 15th Street, a little patchy, but it is steady. Moving in between McFarland and Lurline Wallet.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine today. We'll have the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. For tomorrow, partially sunny. The chance of a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside of the Locker Room. We got Tony and Cowboy holding here. Let's get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Get Tony in. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Coach. Barry, I have to agree with both of y'all. I'll even take you back a week ago to Georgia. Had Georgia not dropped a wide open touchdown pass, that game could have turned out different.
Yeah.
Put them in the lead late in the ballgame. So it's not so much, it's the unforced errors. You know, I don't think you can coach it. You can try. But no one called that receiver to drop that ball, just like no one calls Ryan Williams to drop against Georgia. However, we did score later on the drive. But the big plays that we give up on defense is a concern because it's happened just about every week. With the exception of Law Monroe and some others. And it's normally, we're just not in the right spot, guys. We're not there to make a play. Number one, hadn't contained an outside run yet. And you know, that's, guys, you'd learn that in Little League football, how to take angles. And I don't understand why it's so difficult for them to do. Because it's the truest definition of insanity. You're doing the same things over and over, expecting a different outcome. Well, you need to be in the right position to make a play, and that's what concerns me, is giving up big runs and big plays. And while Missouri hadn't played that tough of a schedule, it's still, you know what their bread is buttered on, which is the run game and playing defense. There's a reason why they're number one in defense and number two or three in the rushing game because they go hand in hand. That's how they practice. So
yeah, Missouri has played. Missouri's played a weak schedule, but
they have.
But I think sometimes those schedules like that, then all of a sudden, boom, you put an Alabama in there. Those guys are playing with a lot of confidence, just based on the wins. Their confidence built each week, so now they could play a little higher in their level as well because they're confident. They're not, their fans, everybody's together. Their fans are with them. Nobody's bad-mouthing them, which is, you know, that's happening at Auburn. They're getting crushed, and Auburn may be just as good as Missouri, but it's the everything around your program is what kind of factors into this game. Everything is positive around Missouri right now.
I agree. Well, I think that's so true. That's so true right there.
Yeah. So
I do wonder, does Missouri have the offense? Let's say they turn it over early. Alabama gets up on 14-17-0. Will they panic or will they stick with what they do? That's what I'm interested in seeing. Hopefully that will happen. You know, I don't believe Vanderbilt's a good come-from-behind team. And once we got that lead on them, I kind of think they didn't look like the same team. And a lot of that was defensive, but their play calling changed. We made them uncomfortable. And hopefully that's what we can do to Missouri. But if we get down big, it's, you know, not a great thing either because they'll just eat the clock away. And this new college football rules. But if you have a lead going in the fourth quarter, you can really milk the clock now and stay out there on the field. But we'll see, guys. I have an okay feeling. I just defensively, we got to stop giving up big plays. And the pass plays are one thing, but the run plays are concerning because it's just fitment. That's all it is. Yeah. All right, guys. Y'all have a good
day. Thank you, Tony. All right.
One big thing, Barry. I don't think they have great offense there.
Missouri.
I think we can beat them in a close game, but I think it's going to be hard.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, let's go to the Yellowwood Hotline. All right, Cowboy, you got the last word today, buddy.
Oh, heck, I don't want to be the last word, but shoot. What team nationwide has impressed you all the most, Coach and Barry?
Dad?
So far.
I had to think about that one.
Obviously, Oklahoma's been pretty impressive with Mateer when he was playing. And I guess Oregon. When you say Oregon, Cowboy?
Yeah.
That'd be a good choice, yeah.
Oregon. They're going to try to put a whooping on Cignetti this Saturday night.
Yes, they are. What was it? That guy from Oklahoma State talked some smack, and they beat him 60-something to nothing.
Yeah. Cignetti's kind of known for talking a little smack, isn't he?
Cignetti likes Cignetti. He's confident. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, you know, in the SEC, it seems like you could just put them in a spinning wheel and you go in there and you draw out one, and heck, that might be a pretty good team. I think
portal and NILs put parity in college football. That's what they wanted. They got it. So,
yeah, you know, Alabama might be the most impressive team so far in the SEC besides Ole Miss. What do you think?
I mean, they got the best wins for sure. So,
yeah,
you go to win at Georgia. That's a big time win for Alabama right there. So,
yeah. Coach, you said something about the AD at Auburn. Maybe you could expound on that a little bit. Auburn could beat Georgia.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes they need to pick it up offensively, and I think it's recognized by the people that make decisions.
Yeah, so
I'll put it in a nice way.
All right, we got to get out, Cowboy. Call back tomorrow.
All right, good talking to you, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy. All right, that's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in here all day long. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.